Well, hey, everybody, it's Todd Duncan. I want to thank you for joining our webinar, and good to see you guys all piling in. We had made a promise to you that because of our good friend Tom Perry getting stuck in Canada and not making it to Sales Mastery, that we would grab some time with him, get him on the phone, and talk about the new economy and talk about, you know, what you're thinking about from a loan officer standpoint. You know, I don't need to introduce Tom. He is the preeminent trainer in my opinion, the world. He knows the real estate market better than anybody knows the market. And we're going to rock and roll for 30 or 40 minutes and see what Tom can share with us as we continue to kind of try and dominate in our own way. So, Tom, good to have you on the webinar, and thank you for allowing us to spend some quality time with you.
Hey, you got it, Todd. It's always my pleasure, and I just want to say to everybody, I am so sorry. I mean, Todd, if they saw the everything that I tried to do to be at Mastery, including trying to get a private plane just for that trip, you know, I was really priding myself on having been one of the only people that's actually spoken three times back-to-back at Mastery, but I'll see you guys next year for sure. So excited to be here, and let's jump in. We got a lot of people listening. Let's get into a little fun Q&A.
Yeah. I love your title, and you know, everybody on the line knows that we're in a purchase market, and you know, a lot of people got caught with their pants down and they're kind of jumping back into the purchase business. And so, you know, from your perspective, you see a lot of agents and you talk to a lot of owners. What's your overall advice around kind of making the strategic adjustment from a, you know, a highly refinance centric kind of market to a purchase market? And what's that landscape kind of look like to you?
You know, I was looking at the top 100 loan officers in the country that, you know, the mortgage magazine that publishes that. And I was looking down the list, Todd, and honest to goodness, the number of agents, loan officers that were, you know, doing $100 million in volume, $200 million in volume. And then you'd look to the right and you'd see refi versus purchase. And I thought, oh my God, half those people are dead. I hope they saved all of their money. So everybody on this line, these are smart, savvy individuals. They know we're in the purchase business. It's just that side of the market right now. Here's the challenge, though, and I'm going to be straight up front with you. I just came out of a meeting with the chairman of the board of a little company called RE/MAX. A couple of days later, I was with Earl Lee, the president and CEO of all of Prudential, and I was with his new boss, who works directly for Warren Buffett, Ron Peltier, who is running Berkshire Hathaway Home Services. Every one of these companies, every major real estate company out there is convinced they need to be in the mortgage business in some way, shape, or form. So we've got this sort of perfect storm happening right now. We're coming out of the collapse. We had a massive refi boom. Now the rates are a little bit higher. Everybody's racing to purchase, but so is everybody in the real estate business. So I think your clientele, being as savvy as they are, need to be so much more strategic today, need to be so much more proactive today. You know, you can't just, you know, go to a seminar, hang out, and hope that you meet a few real estate agents and suddenly you do more purchase business. You have got to be like a Navy SEAL today to really get out there and to know the landscape, to know the playground, and then start making some very intelligent moves, and you better make them fast because everybody's going after this piece of the pie. So I know that's probably not the most positive thing I could say, Todd, but I think everybody out there knows that, you know, they're dealing with offices with closed door policies. You know, it's not like the old days where you just walk into real estate offices and start creating relationships. You know, many of those companies are now affiliated or have a mortgage partner or they started a bank. So the stuff we're going to get into today to me is really important because it's about marketing and connecting and talking to those agents and establishing relationships, bringing them value, becoming their trusted advisor, and winning. So I know that's why we're on the line, and I know that wasn't the most positive opening, but that is the landscape today.
But it's still very, very true. And you know, one of the things I'll say to all of you guys is that, you know, in combination with what Tom obviously teaches and what he knows in the marketplace and what we're doing at the Mortgage Master Club website, you've got to understand how to manage through the objections today of setting appointments. There are more and more objections because more and more lenders are making more and more calls on more and more agents, and they don't have the time to talk to everybody because the value props are not high enough. You know, the amount of call activity is off the charts. Everybody's scared. And so we really do, using Tom's word, want to get strategic about it. And the first strategic thing I would say to everybody is you better know who you're going after. I checked an NAR stat just a couple of weeks ago, and it was the last full stat for 2012, and it was published in July of 2013, and the stat was very revealing. It said that 4% of the real estate agents in America are controlling 51% of the transactions. The second group was another 8% controlling another 24% of the transactions. So if you add those two together, you have 12% of the real estate agents in America controlling 76% of the transactions. So you really do have to get strategic. You got to know who you're going after. And because you want to go after the best, you have to be game on with propositions that really solve some issues. And so, Tom, when you think about your knowledge of the real estate industry, what are some of the big pain points today that agents are experiencing that loan officers could get tactical about?
First of all, Todd, God bless you for referencing that NAR stat. I talk about it all the time. We have several thousand coaching clients that are all dominating that top 12% position. You know, the average income at $338,000 and like 39 transactions on average. But here's the deal. You know, you mentioned you better know who you're going after. Real estate today is divided between two groups, the rich and the rest. And Todd, you just mentioned the 12% that are controlling 76% of the transactions. The odds are they have a lender partner already. So they've got a different set of circumstances to go after that group. So we'll get into that. The other opportunity, though, is to go out to, quote, unquote, the masses and get them while they're young, get them while they're not super productive, and see if you can create a situation to help them become more productive. So I'm going to split the two and say, if you're dealing with the very best, their issues are things like leadership, organization. You know, these are their pain points. They've got a team, but they don't lead them at all. They do the old, I don't know who said this line, Todd, but it's classic. Remember seagull management, fly in, poop, 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 leave, right, like a seagull? That's how most real estate agents are with their teams. Organization is a major factor for them. Marketing consistency is a major factor. So, you know, if I'm a rock star loan officer today, and I'm going to, you know, I'm assuming, Todd, we'll talk about something we both believe in, the Dream 50 list. If they put together their Dream 50 list of the 50 most productive agents in their marketplace, I'm going to ask myself, okay, they all need to work on leadership in some way, shape, or form. Am I going to start a book club and start working them on the books and the audio programs and the counseling that they all need to become better leaders? Am I going to go at them with project management tools or systems that create efficiency for their business, whether it is something simple like Contactually, which is an amazing low-cost CRM solution that organizes their database? Or is it going to be project management, doing and done boards, or sites like Trello, T-R-E-L-L-O, which is project management online, but it's up in the cloud, so it can be shared with multiple people. The top producers' problems are simple: leadership, organization, and marketing consistency. So I would be asking today, just as we do as an organization, because Todd, the beautiful thing about every person on the line is we all do the same thing. We all create solutions for real estate professionals that cause them to do business with us. So I'm in the game every day. We're going to get into the numbers and the calling and all the marketing tactics, but their pain points are those three: leadership, organization, and marketing consistency. Where if you look at the other group, it's more like, think of it this way. I have a son who's going into high school. Todd, you have boys in high school. When you're in high school, if you're playing sports, it's about the fundamentals. It's about, you know, basic blocking and tackling. This is how we strap up our shoes. This is a basketball. When you get to the collegiate level, it's about motivation. And then when you're in the professional level, it's almost more about confrontation. Do your job. And if you don't, someone else will replace you. The top producers are at that confrontation level, but we, myself, you, and all the rock stars on the line, we can't go confront these people. We need to ask good questions. We need to sit down. We need to discover. We need to get into their heads and into their hearts to find out their problems and then create solutions, where they treat them as a vendor, not as a partner. The very best agents, once they align with a rock star, one of your, you know, incredible loan officers, they see it as a partnership, and they have that mutual respect because these men and women are doing business. They're controlling 76% of the transaction, so they get it. At the same time, I would just caution everybody on the line to say that group already has a loan officer. Their brother-in-law could be a loan officer. I mean, it's such a small, tight-knit community, this crazy little real estate business. So every one of you know that. And yet, it doesn't mean we shouldn't go after them. It doesn't mean we shouldn't have them on our Dream 50 list or Dream 100 list of the agents that we're going after every single month to earn the business with. We just need to look also at that other side. You know, is there, you know, 100 agents, 200 agents in your marketplace that have done 5, 8, 6 buyer-controlled sales that with your wisdom, with your guidance, with your experience, with your motivation, with the way you think about business, could you nurture, could you mature, could you coach them into becoming those extraordinary agents? I think the answer is yes, but it comes down to, Todd, something that I know you have talked about for years. It's deciding who is your ideal agent. You know, do you want to go after the rock star that you might have to hunt 50 to be lucky to get one, or do you want to go after those people that are the up-and-comers and make them rock stars? So do you have insight on that, or maybe just share with the group your opinion on it?
Yeah, so I think that everybody misses the boat here, and I think that most of us are under the false impression that you need more agents and not less. And so the magic formula that we believe in is that if you're really in a partnership and you can get 10 real estate agents on your team that love you, that will go to bat for you, that will refer you buyers who don't know a lender, refer you buyers who know a lender, refer you buyers who are already approved with a lender, and we have all of those objections and strategy scripts on the club website, okay, you only need those people to refer 2 buyers a week to you each, or 80 buyers a month. So if you have 10 agents at 8 buyers a month each, you've got 80 buyers. If you're converting 25% of those to, you know, contracts that close, you're funding 200 loans a year. Now, to get to 10, we recommend that you do have a Dream 50 list, that you do understand that I can narrow it down. And the specific answer to Tom's question is that if you are funding over $2 million a month in residential loans, 70% of your prospecting should be on rockstar whales, 30% should be on the up-and-comers. The up-and-comers are easier to get an appointment with, they're easier to go face-to-face with, they respond differently to the value propositions, and anybody who's a rookie that got like rookie of the year or, you know, the top up-and-comer, man, I would be all over them. But if you're funding less than $2 million a month in volume, you probably need to flip that. You probably need to go 70% on the up-and-comers. You'll get more appointments more quickly. You'll have different value propositions for that group versus the group that is the rich. But make no mistake about it, the guys that Tom's talking about are the rest that are going to become the rich. And some of my best relationships were guys and gals that after about 2 or 3 years and just really pouring into the relationship, these guys became part of that small percentage that were the rich. And then the balance would be 30% of your time going after, you know, the big guns. So be very tactical today. Be very strategic today. The number one mistake that I see loan officers make is they try to be everything to everyone. And as a result, they become nothing to the right one. And so get strategic about this. And, you know, I think it's important to understand if you're setting appointments, how to respond to objections. You know, I'm already happy. We have an in-house lender. You know, I'm too busy. And so you got to be kind of prepared for this. Tom, I know that one of the questions we want to talk about is, you know, how should an already busy, you know, lender start to engage agents and work to solve problems they have when, you know, maybe they're too busy themselves or the agents are too busy?
So, you know, again, you and I could both probably speak to that one for a couple hours. I'll just throw this out to you. You know, you mentioned the same exact strategy we believe in, have 10 great referral partners, and we kind of said, you know, four loans a month from each one of those people is kind of the sweet spot opportunity. It's right now it's about being very specific in terms of the strategies you're going after. So, you know, we all know, you know, you can make phone calls, you can do direct mail, you can do mixers, you can do seminars, you can ask for referrals, you can do online opportunities, but I'd go back to, okay, the whales have specific issues. They've got leadership struggles, they've got organizational struggles. I mean, Todd, I get, I don't know, 50, 60 questions a day on Facebook or on Twitter or from my YouTube channel. And I can very quickly determine who I'm talking to just by the question, right? Today, I actually ended up talking to a young gal from Los Angeles who works Venice Beach, California. She said, dominant agent, who we coach, is now doing 50% of the market. What do I do? So we're emailing back and forth, and we're having this conversation finally, and I'm like, all right, so here's the bottom line. You need consistency with your marketing and lead generation. And her response was, I'm afraid to spend the money because this other agent's already so far, you know, so much farther ahead of me. Well, that kind of personifies what the average loan officer is doing today. I'm already super busy. You know I'm supposed to do it. I'm a little bit behind. I just heard company X signed an MSA agreement with company Y. Oh, screw it. I'll just keep working my own database. Pick one or two. Pick one or two things that you say, for the next 12 months, I'm going to do this. And the one that I would say, just go back to Todd's, is the Dream 50 list. The Dream 50 list. Who are the 50 agents you want? And then ask yourself, how could I touch them once a month in a completely non-self-serving way? In a completely non-self-serving way. Not a, hey, can we meet? Love to find out how we're doing, you know, we could do business together. But instead, I read this book. I thought it was totally inspiring. I thought, you know, I thought you would want to check it out, right? That's always a great one, and it's something that's been around the mortgage industry forever. The biggest issue that agents have today under marketing and lead generation consistency is how to attract listings. How to attract listings. So anything you can get your hands on, an article, a video, something off YouTube, a top agent interview, something from my website, because we publish all these different marketing pieces, our friend Steve Harney from Keeping Current Matters. Anything that you can get your hands on that would help them get more listings, I would be sending to them once a month, right? That's one thing. A hot one that I know is very effective, because we have a lot of our own lender clients that are doing this, is, Todd, if everyone on the line, because you know, there's 70 of them on the line right now, so we got 70 rock stars, assuming there's nobody in a big conference room with, you know, 8 or 9 other loan officers, is I would commit to start an online video show called How's the Market, but I would only make it a part of an exclusive VIP offering for 10 agents, right? 10 agents, where once a month you show up with a green screen, a camera, and your crew, and you sit them down and you interview them on How's the Market, and you make that real estate agent look like a rock star, and then your team posts it on their Facebook page, Twitter, you email it out, bomb, everything else we know we should do. I mean, if I had to put money on one strategy, that would be my strategy, because it's influencing the influencer. I'm going to make them look like a star. They're going to send that to everybody in their database, which means you're going to get your name out there even more. You're going to become sort of the lender of choice for a bunch of people you wouldn't regularly have connection with. The second thing I'd be doing is trying to find every marketing piece and every idea I can get my hands on to help them get more listings, and then either show them how to do it, work it into their organization, or give them the blueprint so they can just take it on. Those would be the two things I'd be focusing on.
No, and you know what? You are so right on. And that's why I want you guys to really think strategically about your value propositions. I am very, very excited about a book I'm writing right now. It's called Fishing with Dynamite. And the subtitle is Transform Your Prospecting and Land the Whales. And I was not planning on bringing this up, but the reason I am is because what Tom just said. You need to transform your prospecting. You need to be different than anybody else out there that's trying to prospect people. And you need to understand that the bigger the whale, the harder they are to land. That's why prospecting with dynamite is a metaphor for the value that you're actually bringing to a prospecting experience. And I call it an experience because the big dogs don't convert in a day or a week or even a month. One of the stories that's in the book is I was targeting a very, very large bank and found out very early in the targeting that they did not vendor-base their training. And like most salespeople, I chose to go a different way. Most would put the tail between their leg, and they'd call that a failed sales call, and they'd be done with it. Instead, what I said to the gals, I said, you know, I appreciate that fact. Many of our clients initially did not have in favor of their strategy vendor-basing their training. What they found out over time, however, was that we brought unique solutions to their team that can make a difference in how they perform. Since you have a policy not to vendor-base your training, would it be okay if I gave you something every 3 months you could use for your whole sales force, and if your policy ever changes, the first company you would think about would be the Duncan Group. And she said, you would do that? And I said, absolutely. The only thing that's important is that we help you in whatever we can. If that earns us the business, great. She said, go for it. So listen to this. Every 3 months, we sent 500 CDs, 500 lesson plans for distribution to their entire sales force. 3.5 years later, 13 quarters of marketing the same way, fishing with dynamite, they call, and the guy that had set policy retired, our contact got promoted. She said, we're vendor-basing training. And in 3.5 years, realize how fast you would change the scale, and they would start to think differently about you. And Tom, you brought it up. I mean, you know, there are so many great books out there that if you were to earn $20,000 a year in sales commissions from an agent, ultimately by having a partnership, and you gave them 4 bestsellers, each of which could contribute $50,000 in income, you're giving them $200,000 income during the year in which you're expecting ultimately to get $20,000. Who wouldn't start to respond uniquely to that? And by the way, it changes your whole psychology of selling. You can't have call reluctance when you're in the value game. The people that have call reluctance are looking for deals. They're not prepared to give value. So I just wanted to go off on that because, first, you set me up for it, and second, I mean, if you fish with dynamite, people will come to you. It's awesome.
Throw one more thing really fast because you're speaking my language. So this is something I normally would not share, but I'm going to throw it out to you guys. There, a friend of mine owns a company called Boomtown ROI. Boomtown ROI. And he's got about 785 clients. And I just sat with him a couple of days ago. I was in Charleston, South Carolina. He and a couple other CEOs in this mastermind group I'm a part of. And I said, just describe your business. And he said, we started out years ago as a website, you know, company. We basically help real estate agents generate 300 buyer leads a month. And I was like, wow, you said 300. He said, well, that's kind of the magic number. Like every one of them generates 300 buyer leads a month. I'm like, great. I said, who uses your service? He said, top producers, top producing teams. And I said, is there anything that's happened in your company that made it shift or pivot? And the long and short of it was, when the agent finally got their lender involved, their conversion went from like 1 out of 100 leads to like 5 out of 100 leads. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, as soon as they partnered with the lender was smart enough to follow up on these leads, pre-qualify, see if they wanted to refi, see if they wanted to buy, we'd cross-sell each other. So I would just, they're a very small company, but they handle, you know, hundreds of the best agents throughout North America. I would check out Boomtown ROI ASAP. And if it's available in your marketplace, yeah, I would even be bold enough to say, get it, and you go get the 300 leads, and then go find the agents that want to convert them and only work with you. That felt like a fishing with dynamite opportunity.
Well, it's monstrous. And I met an agent at Berkshire Hathaway 5 weeks ago. His name is Kevin Hill. I sat down with Kevin in front of 125 loan officers, and I had this conversation. It went as fast as this. Kevin, how many deals did you close last year? And he said 78. I said, how many people did you have to talk to close 78 deals? He said about 500. So I said, there's 400 plus that you talked to that didn't close with you. And he said, right. And I said, do you think any of them bought from another agent? He said, probably. Somebody else use you? And he said, yes. And I said, we had agents in Oxnard, California. And every single one of them is interested in the type of partnership with a lender where you guys are focused on productivity and organization. And it is amazing to me to see how many people agents talk to that never convert, that they never do anything about. So, Tom, in that kind of reality, I mean, that's fishing with dynamite. If you can bring back $400,000 or $500,000 or $600,000 in commissionable value, does that separate you from most lenders?
That's a loaded.
Sorry, it was rhetorical.
That's a fishing with dynamite question. So here's the issue. Ready? The issue is, are they willing to do the work? Right? Are we willing to do the work? I mean, talking to real estate agents every day, I say, look, we all know what we have to do. And what's great is committed people versus interested people. They all know what they have to do. Committed people in industry, they all know what they have to do. And oh, by the way, they all don't like to do it, but the committed people do it anyway. Right? The committed people do. So I actually pulled up some stats for you. You ready? We coach a small handful of lenders. Usually, you know, Todd, surprise, surprise, referred by another one of our agent clients. So we coach them together. So we started looking at the numbers of what it takes to get a whale. And, you know, we've been tracking this for 3 years. So, you know, surprise, surprise, you know, 100 calls, they're going to generate 30 conversations. From 30 conversations, they're going to generate, you know, conservatively 5 appointments. One is always going to cancel. They're going to go on 4. And if they ask the right questions and they really come from a place of building value, they're going to create one relationship every time. So I look at, you know, agents and loan officers the same way. It's just math. You know, how many times can you get in front of an agent and say, what's your goal for sales? How does that compare to last year? What would you say is the biggest challenge you're facing in your business? Tell me more about that. What are the most effective strategies you're using to generate leads and clients? You know, that's exactly why I wanted to, you know, meet with you today, because we're able to do A, B, and C. Have you heard of this? You know, all stuff that, Todd, you and I were born and raised on. Value-based questions, discovering who they are, what's important to them, let the agent talk. But it comes down to this for everybody listening. Are you going to do the work? You know, we've identified who the agents are. We know who they are. You know, I would challenge every one of us to say, I mean, it's not a challenge if your name was on that top 100 loan officers in the country list, and I saw a bunch of them that were like 95% refi. It's not a challenge. They're out of business. They're done, right? For the great ones, the ones that are on the line now that have always had refi as a wonderful bonus, but you've always stayed purchase-centric, it's sit down with a whiteboard today. Who are the top 50 agents? How many ways can I touch them? What am I comfortable doing? Is it going to be sending them a book? Is it going to be sending them an item of value? How many face-to-face coffee meetings can I get where we just sit down and I ask them, what are your goals? What are you committed to? How's that working for you? What's important to you in terms of partnership? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? What was the biggest challenge you faced growing up as a child? And all these questions that we all know that would allow them just to open up and be real with you long before you said, hey, I know I've screwed up in the past, but I'd love another shot at working with you. Or you know, let me show you our new program. Does that make sense?
I want to just tell everybody, this is the nuts and bolts. This is the heartbeat of how you prospect and convert. And, you know, one of the, as you heard Tom talk right now, these questions are about the person. It's about you taking the spotlight off yourself. It's about you not thinking about getting a loan. It's about you inquisitively connecting. You want conversion to go up, make your connection deeper. You want conversion to stay low, don't worry about connecting. But when you ask the kind of questions that Tom is saying you ask, then you start connecting. And I want to teach you something really quickly that Tom's kind of just inspired me to say right now. I have found two principles hugely important in an agent dialogue with an LO. Principle number one is the gap. And all the gap means is when you learn about their business, Tom said it so fast you might have missed it. Is there a plan and how's that working? I want to gap everything. If they door knock, I want to gap it. If they open house, I want to gap it. If they make listing presentations, I want to gap it. If they do direct mail, I want to gap it. If they have three different internet lead generation systems, I want to gap it. And the gap is, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being perfect, how's that working for you? Now imagine if I learn about their business and that they do open houses, and I say, great, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being best, how would you rate your open house strategy? And they give you a 5. Okay, you now have a gap. You have an opportunity to close that gap and show them how you can move that from a 5 to a 6 to a 7. Tom and his company have phenomenal intellectual property on open houses, mega open houses, optimizing open houses, making sure conversion is high. And so the gap is huge. The gap is huge. Imagine if a listing agent, scale of 1 to 10, 10 being best, is only at a 6. That means 4 out of every 10 sellers aren't saying yes. What if you could get one more out of the 4 to say yes by using some of the cool strategies that are available through Tom and his company and our company? That's what this is about. The second principle is dollarize it. So let's use the listing agent example. If they are getting 6 out of 10 to say yes, and 4 out of 10 are not saying yes, simply ask them, how much do you make per listing side closed? And whatever they tell you, okay, you take that and you say, so basically every month you talk to 10, you list 6, 4 say no. What if we got one more? It's worth $18,000 by teaching strategy around getting 1 out of 4 to say yes. This is the kind of stuff that the new economy requires. You cannot do donuts and pizza and rate sheets and make cold calls and see who's out there just, you know, trying to make it. You have to be very strategic, and these two questions will take your conversation to the next point. So Tom, with that said, I mean, once you have a conversation with an agent, what are some of the, you know, the great connection points on how to grow it and how to make it work? And then let's shift gears to the last two questions.
You know, I think we've covered so much of it. I mean, you know, ways to connect are the blinding flash of the obvious. I mean, I know you said, you know, calling is low on your list. I've actually found it to be rather effective these days. You want to know why, Todd? That wasn't rhetorical. Ready? Because no one else is doing it. No one else is making calls anymore, right?
I said,
you know what I mean? Like, I mean, we wouldn't want them to cold call. We wanted just to call their top 50, call their top 100 and follow those numbers. You know, call 100, you're going to get 30 contacts, you're going to set 5 appointments. The bottom line is this, ready? Just like the agent struggles with organization, I would ask everybody here, inside your dream 50 list, you know, do you have them on some kind of great CRM contact management solution, whether it's Contactually or Outlook? I don't care. But I know this, if you're not consistently touching them once a month and doing it in an interesting way, you're not top of mind. Everybody, right, everybody is now spending money trying to go after real estate agents. So they're throwing parties, they're doing events, they're doing seminars, they're all doing it. But listen, and I do those events, and I watch the loan officers. The smart ones don't stand in the back of the room. They go sit in the room. They're not standing next to their buddy who's never going to do a loan with them. They're sitting in the room, and they're moving around the room over the course of a multi-day event, trying to connect with as many people as possible. At the end of the day, you know, it's blocking and tackling. That's all relationship is. It's fundamentals, right? How do I connect with them? How do I go deep with them? How do I really find out what's important to them? I have on my desk a book right now that, Todd, every single person, if you can find it, you should go read it tonight. The book is called Ovitz, O-V-I-T-Z, Ovitz, and it's the story of Michael Ovitz and how he built the Creative Artist Agency. He made 100 calls a day, every day, to his dream 100 list. 100 a day, Todd. Every day. He said, the only job I have is to find out, you know, the most talented writers, the most talented directors, the most talented producers, the most talented, you know, actors and actresses, and every day get them to join my agency. Now, if you know the story of CAA, he built that thing up into a monstrous empire, sold it, and then went and ran a little company called Walt Disney for a while. Right. You don't need to read the book, because I just told you the strategy. He did the dream 100, but for him, it was like a dream 1,000, you know, every actor, every actress, every director. So I know I'm probably just sounding like a broken record. I hope that's the case. I hope you're getting the message, because, Todd, I don't think there are any secrets.
No, and you know what? I bet you right now, if we could do a hand raise on this system, we'd probably see that, you know, 69 out of the 70 people, if not all 70, could probably answer to the question, could you be more effective at making calls and following up? I bet you everybody would say yes. I built the Duncan Group by talking to 10 new lenders a day, 5 days a week, and it took 8.5 months at 50 accounts a week before I got my first contract. In the next 2 months, we got 47 contracts in 2 months. Prospecting is not something you do when you need business. It has to be a way of life. And I love the Dream 50. I love the Dream 100. And in case any of you missed it, one of the things that Tom and I do individually for each of our companies to add value to our tribes, the people that believe in us and follow us, is we do the very same thing that Tom suggested you do. And I would get after this. I would do a video a week. I'd make it private for your Dream 50. I'd invite them to your website. I would do a 3 to 5 minute video a week on adding value to your agents. And man, it's one of the most popular things you do, Tom. It's one of the most popular things I do. And it gets people thinking about the options. I can tell you right now, most loan officers are not doing that. So my assignment to you as a result of this call is come up with five things that you can use to, quote, fish with dynamite. Five things that are dynamite that can be explosive in the way that you prospect and change the game. And then start to decide how frequently are you going to distribute, how frequently are you going to make calls. Because the deal today, just ask any loan officers who is out scurrying around, the deal today is nobody's wondering if they should be making calls. The deal today is when you make a call, how valuable is it? And I would just, as a parting comment, say, man, the more valuable, the more likely you are to be received. And the other thing, too, is the more valuable, it changes the selling psychology. You go from call reluctance to call excitement when you deliver things of value. You don't deliver things of value, you're just another dude out there, another gal out there trying to get the business. So, Tom, parting thoughts. We've been going for about 44 minutes or so, and we sure appreciate you jumping on and filling in for the Mastery Void, which you were dramatically missed. But final thoughts for these loan officers.
You know, I would say, Todd, I'm going to share something that I'm doing right now that is, you know, we're all in the same game, and I'm in the business of attracting real estate agents. You're in the business of attracting real estate agents. I've got 45 salespeople out there. We do, you know, sometimes 5 and 6 seminars a day, and then I get to show up to some big events. So I'm fully entrenched in this. Stefan Swanpool's company, if you're not familiar with a company called Real Trends, I'm actually reaching into my briefcase right now to grab this. Every year for the last 16 years, Stefan writes the annual trends report for real estate. Well, this year, he published the top 200 most influential people in real estate and wrote, you know, a little blurb about every one of them, and, you know, a lot of time and energy went into organizing this list. Well, that automatically, Todd, became my new Dream 68 list. There's 68 CEOs that I don't have a relationship with as much as I would like. The balance of them, I'm in various stages of connection and relationship. So here's what I did. First thing I did with every one of them is I put them on a Google alert. So every time their name comes up, I know about it. And every time their name comes up on a Google alert, I want to be the very first person that sends them a note that says, wow, Todd, congratulations on picking up that new account or that new acquisition or that new company you just bought. You know, keep up the great work. You know, love and kisses, Tom. I never say love and kisses, but you get the point. Next thing I did is I scoured the internet to find out, are they on Instagram? You know what I found out? A bunch of these CEOs are on Instagram, and it's only personal for them. So, you know, sometimes most of them didn't have, you know, they didn't lock it so I could just follow them automatically, or better yet, begin just to make comments on them. Now, in the old days, Todd, when you and I were, you know, maybe in high school, if you did this to a girl, this would be called stalking, right? Their parents would be calling you and saying, tell that freak to stay away from my daughter. Well, in today's social economic world, this is every day. So I followed them all on Instagram. I followed them on Twitter. I go to their Facebook page. I make a connection with them there. I'm liking stuff that they're doing. You with me? And yeah, just those little things. Then the kicker is I know the pain points of all these CEOs. So just like I'm asking all the loan officers on the line today, I'm DJing content for them, right? I'm saying, what are the biggest problems that CEOs have? I bet they struggle with their 50 or 500 offices to have effective sales meetings. So what if I created private sales meetings? And I'm already doing this, guys. I'm sitting in front of my green screen with a Remax balloon, then the Coal Banker logo, then the C21 logo, then the Weikert Realtor, every one of these big companies I'm going after, and I'm doing a high-powered sales meeting endorsing nicely the company and the organization with the hope that they would then send it out to their people. I mean, I'm thinking that... Say again?
Fishing with dynamite,
man. I mean, every one of those accounts, just like every one of these top 12% of the agents that are doing 76% of all the transactions, you get one of them, and it pays off tenfold. I think I'll get 2 or 3 in the next 12 months.
Lights out.
That'll be my last tip.
No, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. And we sure appreciate the value you've added to Mastery over all the years. It's great to be a good friend and get mentored and mentor you. And so proud of what you're achieving and accomplishing. And just a big heartfelt thanks from the Sales Mastery tribe for filling in the gap and that you can land the whales and you can change 2014 and beyond. Thanks, Tom Ferry. Thanks, everybody, for being a Sales Mastery fan. The dates for Sales Mastery this year, September 10th through the 13th. Back out at the Marriott Desert Springs Resort. That's September 10th through the 13th. Check out salesmasterymobile.com. That's where all the new stuff is being posted. And we look forward to you being with us at Sales Mastery. Tom, have a great day and a great rest of February. And I know you're going to have a great year.
Thanks, and take care, everybody. Best of luck to you.